You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Got my first real six string, bought it at the five and dime, played it till my fingers bled, was the summer of 69.
As you see, I passed out a letter that had an attachment from the council on aging where they notified us in August that they would no longer be serving meals to our seniors at Cobb Center.
All right, so you have probably heard this story. Of course, I always feel like I need to make sure to cover it clearly for you. But this is Rosa Johnson. She was speaking at the Pensacola City Council meeting first, and then she went to the Escambia County Commission meeting on Friday and spoke again. And the issue of the Cobb Center and the seniors who say they are not getting fed there, a program that is overseen by the Council on Aging of West Florida. I've heard this story get covered quite a bit. And the one thing that I will say is I have not heard the response from Council on Aging themselves. And I happen to be very good friends with Josh Newby, who's the executive director over there. He's been the executive director for many years. And I thought to myself, well, we probably ought not cover this unless we talk to Josh. So not right now, but coming up in about 30 minutes, we're going to get their side, his side of the story, because that's, you know, the way you should do these things. But I did want to give Rosa Johnson her chance to speak and then talk a little bit about the story that you have. As I said, I think we have heard this story quite a bit on local media for the last week or so.
The reason they gave me is that they're no longer serving meals because there was a conflict between an employee from the council on aging, an employee from the city of Pensacola. What does that have to do with the seniors? Why are we being penalized?
Yeah, and I mean, that's a fair question. She's frustrated and confused about why it is that the meals aren't happening, and it seems like something that's not significant, so why should the senior suffer for this sort of logistical, interpersonal dispute kind of problem, if that's indeed what it is?
And their commitment on their 501(c), they stated that they would be serving meals to the seniors. Okay, they didn't say some seniors. Sometime, they said they were going to be serving meals to the seniors. Why are we being eliminated from these services because of a conflict between two individuals? I would like to know why.
I think we all want to know why. It's not an unfair question, especially if you're the one receiving the service or had been receiving the service.
What justification can you give me or any of our seniors that you're going to stop feeding us because of an argument between that person and that person?
All right, so that's sort of, you know, first set of information is somebody's frustrated and doesn't understand and feels like she's gotten an explanation that does not add up and does not justify the decision. And she goes to the political leaders, which is what you're supposed to do. You go to them and see if you can figure this out. Hey, what gives? Okay. Second level of information, Amy Miller, the deputy city administrator, she says,
you're aware of that situation. It boils down to a minor personality conflict between a couple of individuals. We have reached out to the Council on Aging on numerous occasions and tried to arrive at a compromise solution and have been met with resistance at all of our efforts to get this food program restored to our center.
Okay, so Amy Miller, who is a very credible, reliable, capable person, she says that they have tried to work with the Council on Aging West Florida and have been basically stonewalled or given inadequate answers, and that they've tried everything and hasn't come up with an answer yet.
We have spoken to the staff at Council on Aging. We've spoken to board officers at the Council on Aging. It truly is Council on Aging's decision on where they choose to provide meals. As I stated, we've contacted them with numerous compromise solutions for how to restore meals at that site, and we've been refused at every turn.
All right. Thank you very much. Unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, it's what my perception of this story, based on what they said, is 100% negative and 100% blame on the Council on Aging West Florida is what it seems like. But that's why you bring the other side on to hear from them and find. And by the way, I don't know what Josh is going to say. I just, you know, arranged the interview last night. And I just figured this is exactly what we're supposed to do, is hear from the other side, because it sounds really terrible. And I will say this, whenever you encounter a story that seems very clear, but you've only heard one side of the information, how eager or how certain should you be that you've got enough to make a decision? Right? Now, in this case, it's not just one side. It's not just the woman or the people receiving the services. Amy Miller says too. Okay, that's significant to me. But always talk, you know, to the other side. And one of the things in life that's going to frustrate you, but it's just true, you know it's true, is you often have to make decisions about who to believe, what to believe, who to trust, in the presence of conflicting information or inadequate information. I mean, that's life, right? Well, okay, I know Josh really well. He's one of my best friends. I don't know what the answer is here, but I know Josh is certainly a decent person, a very kind person, a very smart person. So I have confidence that there's a significant piece of information or pieces of information that we just don't have yet. I don't know what they are, but I trust that they're there. That's why I wanted to have him on to talk about this. We'll come back to this in just a second. And it's important to do that. Like, don't just jump to a conclusion. Now, I mean, it could be the conclusion the Council on Aging is doing something really wrong. I mean, that's a possibility. Even though he's a friend, even though I know him. I mean, good people do bad things sometimes. I'm not saying that. I'm just, you know, you have to be open to all the possibilities. But being open to the possibilities means don't just take information from one perspective. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Voodoo Barbecue. Time to taste the magic at Voodoo Barbecue. Cajun style, fall off the bone ribs, pulled pork, the way it's meant to taste. Voodoo Barbecue on 9 Mile Road, Pensacola. I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to Inner Bay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to the Cobb Center issue. This came up again in the county commission meeting on Friday. Of course, the same person had gone there to complain, which is certainly within her redress rights, her First Amendment rights, and is exactly what you should do if you feel like there's a political solution to be had to a problem that you're suffering from. Lumen May.
In contact with the mayor in relations to Cobb Center, and he's assured me that the seniors at Cobb are going to be fed and he's taking care of it. So just want to put that clarification in that I've been in contact with the mayor and that those seniors at Cobb will be taken care of.
Okay, so, you know, Lumen says he's talked to D.C. I'm assuming that they were texting during the meeting and or that he's called him previously, but, you know, some kind of resolution has been had, but that still doesn't really answer the issue, and that doesn't help us understand what we should think about a, you know, public 501c3 that, you know, receives public funding, the Council on Aging in West Florida, generally a very good agent. When we partner with them for their, you know, chill out, WAR partners with them for their chill out. So again, it just, you know, it's a good organization doing a lot of good work, serving the seniors, and I know the executive director extremely well, but I don't know the answer to this particular question. And so we'll ask him here in about 20 minutes, because that's what you do. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
All right, boys, let's sit up straight. Tighten those ties, fix those collars. We are
Marshall!
Almost home.
Good morning, 621, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you have any kind of video production service work that you need done, it could be aerial footage from a drone. Obviously, Pelican Drones does that. It's right there in their name. That's kind of how they started, and they've been doing for more than 10 years, working with major clients like Portofino, Visit Alabama, Innisfree, FDOT, Netflix, HGTV. I mean, you know, they work with big, but they also work with homeowners who just want to have a video of their home in case there's a storm. Or if you need a meeting produced, or you need ads produced, you want to do a walkthrough of your restaurant for social media, you want to do a fly-through of your development, you know, your subdivision that you're building for real estate purposes, some kind of an inspection, whatever the case may be, if you need video services done, that's exactly what they do. And you can buy them by the hour, by the half day, by the day. That you own the video when they're done, so they can give you the bits and pieces too. So if you want to produce something else yourself, they can run an ad series for you for the next 6 months in various forms. I mean, the point is, if you need video, ground-based, aerial-based, or anything else, Pelican Drones can take care of you for that. PelicanDrones.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, the body of the final Israeli hostage has been recovered in Gaza. The Israel Defense Forces say the family of 24-year-old Ryan Gavili has been informed that their loved one has been identified and is being returned for burial. That paves the way now for the second phase of the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. USA Today is the new owner of the Detroit News. They already own the Detroit Free Press, which has competed with the Detroit News for over 150 years. The joint operating agreement with the two Detroit newspapers ended in December, and USA Today says they are maintaining both of them as separate products.
What?
I don't know.
One entity, USA Today,
is going to own both. Is going to operate newspapers and, yeah,
both of the competing franchises in the news industry, in the print business.
Let me tell you,
the
competition
city
is fierce.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would have thought it'd be a little bit more appropriate if they'd have just merged them. And, I grew up in Detroit reading the Free Press. I mean, you know, it's a legacy newspaper in this country. But, man, it's just, you know, we're going to own the Cubs and the White Sox. No problems. No problems. Couldn't possibly be a problem.
Nothing to see here. Move on
right
along. This is getting out of hand. So Meta wants to test out a subscription model now for Facebook. The company tells TechCrunch they're testing an optional subscription model for Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, which will unlock extra features like AI tools.
Oh, cool. I don't need that. I'm good. Now, I do think it's an interesting question. We're all accustomed to these things being free, right? They've suckered us with the free cocaine, okay? That's how it works. Hey, you know, you want to buy some cocaine? No. You want to try some? Sure. You know, like That's how we're all addicted to social media, because it's free. And, of course, you know, the old rule is that if you're not paying, then you're the product, right? They're getting something from you for free. Well, how much would you be willing to pay for your social media? Well, it's a question you hate, because when you're getting something free, you don't want to pay for it. But, it's a fair question. You know, how much would you pay? So, and I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know what I'd be willing to pay to keep Facebook if it went to a fee-based, you know, model. I don't think they will, but because that's not what they're built for. They're not built for making money for me. They're built for, you know, figuring out who I am. But I did ask the question, since you make it like AI, what they could do is they could sell features that people want that don't currently exist. Now, I don't want AI, so that doesn't appeal to me. But if they had a button choosing not to comment, I would use that button a lot. I can't tell you how many times. David, thanks so much for the update, by the way. I don't know how many times I read a story on Facebook, particularly, is my platform of choice. I'm sorry if you're a TikToker. You know, it's fine. If you're Instagram, I'm trying not to discriminate. I'm just, you know, for me, it's Facebook because I'm old and it makes sense to me. But I read it. I don't have anything to add. I don't want to like the thing. I don't want to heart the thing. I don't want to laugh at the thing. There's no reaction I can pick that correctly expresses my willingness to be indifferent about the content. But I have noticed, and correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, but Facebook sure does bring out the stupid in people. And Facebook is the smarter of the ones out there, like compared to Twitter, good Lord, or X, you know, or, I mean, God love you, Instagram, or God really love you, TikTok. The people, this is the Dunning-Kruger effect in real time, right? The people who know the least have the loudest opinions on social media. And I think there's a problem with that. I'll explain in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, PJ. So here's the problem I've noticed. When I look at, I look at news sites primarily, right? The PNJ, WEAR, Alabama.com, okay, News Service of Florida. That's not a good example because that's a regular website as opposed to being a comment site, but social media sites or websites where there's comments. And what I've learned, again, I don't think this is particularly revelatory, you'll know this, is that it's discouraging how little people know. We live in a democracy where people knowing things is a prerequisite for them making informed choices about who to vote for and what to say when they vote. And repeatedly, what I think is, oh my God, you don't even know the basic facts. Now, my job is to teach the basic facts. That's literally what my job is for. And apparently, no matter what we try to do to teach them, people won't learn them. And okay, you're not obligated to fix your ignorance, but I mean, it's just true. And the loudest, most obnoxious, most acerbic, contemptuous opinions on social media are often associated with the people who clearly know very little. Or there are key omissions in their knowledge. And I'm just amazed by this all the time. But here's what I believe. I believe that the people who don't comment are the most significant omission of all on social media. Because if you just believed that the comments, particularly on news stories, represent the mass of the voting electorate, you'd be very disheartened about the state of our democracy. But I don't believe they represent the vast majority of people. I genuinely believe that the comments you see on social media represent the loudest, most ignorant slice of people most of the time. It's no offense to people who show up at county commission meetings, city council meetings, but it's the public forum. And the people who show up to public forum are usually not the most informed, savvy, aware. I mean, sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. And I sit there and think, well, that's wrong. That's false. No, you missed that. You know, that again, that's my job, logic referee. Fact referee. And so here's my theory. We have 330,000 people in Escambia County, 170 or so in Santa Rosa. You have something around 500,000 people in this area. And you have four people show up at the public meeting. Or 400 on social media who comment. But even if it's 400 comments, that's literally 499,600 people who didn't say anything. Now, maybe they did not see the post, and some of them are not on social media. Okay, but there are at least, let's be very conservative, tens of thousands of people who said nothing at all. And not because they have no opinion, and not because they're not aware, and not because they didn't see it, but because they're the kind of people who don't say anything at all, like in a class. They never raise their hand. The hand raisers are not the most skilled students all the time. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. And when I'm talking with people, I hear this from them all the time. And they say, you know, I don't really comment on stuff either. I, Andrew McKay, I don't comment on almost everything I read on social media. I would be on social media all day fixing things. So, if it's true that the least informed or the low informed are the loudest, and if it's true that a vast number of people do not comment at all, even though they may be extremely well informed, then it's a completely unrepresentative picture of the views of the electorate. And so the very, very, very simplest possible move in the direction of getting a better picture of what people think would be to add a button that simply says, I'm here, I've read it, and I'm choosing not to comment. I'm Andrew McKay.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump speaking with Minnesota leaders to try to put an end to the unrest in the state, deploying his border czar Tom Homan to lead ICE operations.
He will be reporting directly to the president. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino had been acting as the Border Patrol lead here, even hosting daily press conferences, really the face of the operation here. But Bovino is now returning to be sector chief in El Centro, California, and other Border Patrol agents are leaving as well.
Fox's Matt Finn, at least 34 people dead after that massive winter storm. It's still bringing bone-chilling temperatures nationwide. Fox Weather's Melanie Black in Boston, where almost 2 feet of snow fell.
And that snow is not going anywhere anytime soon. Our Fox Weather Forecast Center is calling for high temperatures in the 20s and overnight lows in the single digits this week.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 25 degrees. It is clear skies right now. We'll check our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up here in just a few moments. A cantonment man was arrested last week after a traffic stop for a stolen license plate, which led to the discovery of fentanyl. Deputies say they pulled over 35-year-old John Duncan McLean on Bridgedale Road when they spotted an Alabama plate, which had been reported stolen. McLean turned into a residential driveway, allegedly trying to avoid the police. Deputies say they found about 8.7 grams of fentanyl in a black bag in the vehicle. A passenger told deputies McLean started throwing things around the vehicle when he saw the patrol car. McLean is being held without bond. Century residents will see a new solid waste provider next month and a monthly bill increase as well of just over $10. It's the first change in over 30 years. Waste Pro is replacing Republic Services. The current rate is $27.44 a month. Under Waste Pro, residents will pay $37.91. Card exchanges happen on Wednesday. Waste Pro begins their service in Century next week with yard waste pickup on Tuesdays and garbage on Fridays. Well, Baldwin County power workers are headed over to Mississippi to restore electricity after ice storms. Riviera Utilities sent crews with 16 workers and Baldwin EMC sending 27 workers. More than an inch of ice caused widespread outages in Mississippi. The crews could be deployed for up to a few weeks. Florida's Rural and Family Lands Protection Program received a record number of applications this cycle. More than 500 landowners applied to permanently preserve over 600,000 acres of agricultural land from development. That's a 90% increase since 2023. The program helps farmers and ranchers protect working land for future generations. Well, CivicCon is coming. Chris Bryan with this update. He says city activities will be discussed.
Mayor Reeves is preparing for his annual State of the City address at CivicCon. The free, open to the public event gets underway Thursday, February 5th at the Bayview Community Center on East Lloyd Street. Reeves will give a presentation discussing city initiatives, accomplishments, and provide updates on the city's strategic plan. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And in response to national controversy over a deadly shooting involving federal immigration agents in Minneapolis, Florida's governor is defending Florida's approach. Governor Ron DeSantis, he says Florida's cooperation with the Department of Homeland Security and Immigrations and Customs Enforcement helps to maintain peace and order.
We've helped between state and local. You know, we've gotten almost 20,000 illegal alien apprehensions, and that's over and above what DHS would be doing.
And the governor says the state's policy has resulted in thousands of arrests and smoother enforcement. Democrat leaders argue that giving DHS authority isn't a guarantee against violence. And they say Florida may not be immune to unrest. Well, the Seattle Seahawks are taking on the Patriots in Super Bowl 60 next month. But Seattle Seahawks cornerback Devin Witherspoon is a Pensacola native who graduated from Pine Forest High School. He received congratulations from fellow Pensacola native and Hall of Famer Derek Brooks. The Seahawks beat the Rams last weekend, Super Bowl 60, set for February 8th, 6:35. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at temperatures starting off very cold this morning, but getting around 59 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44. As you head into Wednesday, some cloudy skies with a high near 62 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. As you head into Thursday, going to be staying chilly and breezy through the day. Sunny skies, high near 49. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Oh, thank you, Brooke. Clear skies, 25 degrees. And now, checking in with PJ with a look at our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. The front gate of NES Pensacola backed up to Central. And we have reports that there is a traffic light out, Highway 29 at Roberts. That's a four-way stop until it's fixed. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. 6:36, our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields inched higher this morning as investors awaited further economic data and looked ahead to the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision. The 10-year Treasury yield was up 1 basis point at 4.221%, while the 2-year Treasury note yield moved less than a basis point higher to 3.591%. General Motors has beaten Wall Street's fourth quarter earnings expectations while guiding for another year of strong financial performance. The Detroit automaker, which slightly missed revenue expectations, also announced a 20% increase in its quarterly dividend and a new $6 billion share repurchase authorization. United Health Group posted modest fourth quarter earnings beat that ish, but issued soft revenue guidance for 2026. United Health expects 2026 revenue to come in greater than $439 billion, which is a 2% year-over-year decline that reflects right-sizing across the enterprise. Futures are currently mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 313. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What justification can you give me or any of our seniors that you're going to stop feeding us because of an argument between that person and that person?
We have spoken to the staff at Council on Aging. We've spoken to board officers at the Council on Aging. It truly is Council on Aging's decision on where they choose to provide meals. As I stated, we've contacted them with numerous compromise solutions for how to restore meals at that site, and we've been refused at every turn.
So that's Rosa Johnson, who is one of the recipients of Meals at the Cobb Center, and then Amy Miller, the deputy city administrator, talking about the allegations that the Council on Aging of West Florida has for personality conflicts or personnel conflicts of some undisclosed type stopped providing Meals at the Cobb Center to the seniors who need those meals. And as again, Amy Miller is making it sound like they've tried everything to solve this and Council on Aging West Florida has refused every effort. Lumen May in the commission, this is on the city council meeting 2 weeks ago on the commission meeting on Friday. Lumen said he had been talking to DC and they're going to make sure that meals got served. And I just figured, well, you know, hey, I know the guy who's the executive director. And even if I didn't know him, in order to make sure that we get all sides covered on this, we ought to talk to the person who runs the agency. So joining us now, we have Josh Newby, who is the executive director of the Council on Aging of West Florida. He is also a dear friend of mine. We were in Leadership Pensacola together 10 years ago. God, 10 years ago. Josh, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. And just FYI, a little bit of background. You know, you and I are good friends. I know you, your family. Josh is a dear friend. I would trust him. He's a kind person, a generous person, a smart person, even though I usually beat him at board games. but he's a great guy. Right. And he's on the wrap with me once a month. He filled in for me. Thank you very much for filling in for me with Jonathan Owens a day last Monday that I thought was very entertaining and interesting. It was actually radio I loved listening to, so thank you for doing that. And you're right now getting ready to go to Tallahassee for the Leadership Pensacola meeting that does that annually. So, you know, all kinds of good stuff. So, okay, tell me what I don't know. Tell me how this happened, how we got here, what's going on. Clarify.
Yes. Well, and again, I appreciate the opportunity to give our side, Andrew, because I do feel very strongly that Council on Aging has been mischaracterized in various public forums over the past couple of weeks. This is a long story that I will try to condense. But about 16 months ago, in late 2024, I became aware of behavior and treatment of our employee at the Cobb Center by a city employee. I witnessed the behavior firsthand several times because I never want to take a secondhand account or rumors or allegations of staff mistreatment. And what I witnessed was I would describe as insulting and bullying and toxic behavior from a city employee to our employee. So I contacted the City Parks and Rec Department, and the city said that they were aware of this employee at Cobb Center, their employee, that they had a long problematic history with this employee and that they would deal with it. So I said, fair enough, you know, I'll give them a couple weeks, a couple months to work that through. So this was in late 2024. In February of 2025, I received several calls from my employee in tears begging me to come up to Cobb Center. I dropped everything, went up to Cobb Center several times, and again, witnessed firsthand a city employee berating and behaving in a noxious and a very, very unpleasant manner toward my employee. I intervened and contacted the city once again, and they said that they were aware, that they were conducting an investigation, that they were dealing with it. I said, okay, waited several more months. Nothing happened. Endured several more phone calls from my employee in tears. Nothing happened. Finally, I told city administration, I'm going to pull out of Cobb because it's my responsibility to protect my employee if you can't relocate or relieve your employee of their duties. Again, they did nothing. So I gave 30 days notice to all the clients because I never want a senior citizen to go without proper nutrition because of a staff conflict. I gave 30 days notice to all clients that they could continue to receive meals for free at any other site. We would provide free transportation to any of those sites so they could get their meals, they could come back to Cobb, and they continued to eat with their friends. Out of 60 clients, only three took us up on that offer. And so now it has been over 16 months, the city well aware of this problematic employee. That employee continues at work at Cobb every day. And I did have a conversation with Amy Miller last Tuesday.
So that would, okay, so Tuesday would have been after the first city council meeting, before the county commission meeting. Okay, just for time's sake clarification, go ahead.
Yes. And to be clear, I have called the city multiple times. I've talked to Councilman Valerian Wiggins. I've talked to Councilwoman Broughton's office. I've talked to Commissioner May's office. Every public official I speak to agrees that the onus is on the city to deal with this employee. And I told Ms. Miller on the phone that I take issue with her comments because I feel that Council on Aging has done everything to engage in good faith. And I have told them multiple times, I will return to Cobb tomorrow. Tomorrow. I have put my staff on 24-hour notice. I will return to Cobb tomorrow as soon as my employee has a safe and positive environment in which to work.
And the answer from the city or from Amy has been, and by the way, did you talk to, actually, let me hold it for just a second. We've got to get a quick trap. We're talking to Josh Newby, who's the Council on Aging of West Florida Executive Director. Hang on for just a second, Josh. PJ's got traffic on the
fire. There is a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, right at mile marker 31. That is by Highway 87. Use caution through that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fire.
All right, thanks so much, PJ. Back to Josh Newby. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about this whole dust-up over the Cobb Center, the providing of meals by the Council on Aging West Florida to the elders there, to the seniors there, and the fact that they have not been doing it now for a couple of months due to, as Josh just in depth explained, a very, very serious personnel conflict that could not be resolved, though he says he made many, many efforts to try to resolve it. Okay, so I forget the question I asked you right before we went to the traffic, but what's been the answer? What's been the solution? Is there not a solution? You tell me.
So last I called Amy Miller on Tuesday after the previous week's council meeting. And we spoke. We had a productive conversation. I think I clarified a lot of things for her. I think that maybe she has been misinformed about our efforts. And I reiterated to her that I will return to Cobb tomorrow if this problematic employee is relocated. She said to stand by, and that's been a week now.
Did you talk to Tanya, the new Parks and Recs director? She was just confirmed at the same meeting where the complaints were made, right, Tanya Bird?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so Tanya Bird was the original one that I spoke to 16 months ago and 12 months ago. She was the one the conversation was opened with.
Okay. And is she? Have you talked to her since? Has she expressed anything? Because it's really sort of her direct report, right?
That's correct, but it no, I have not talked to her because it's escalated to,
okay, to
her
Amy.
Boss,
Amy. I got you. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Did in any of this time, was it ever a possibility that your employee might be located somewhere else? I mean, if for no other reason than for her, it sounds like a female, for her peace of mind and try a different employee in the situation, because sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just two people don't get along. And I know you witnessed it, and I'm not trying to give shade for the or cover for
sure,
the person
no.
who did it wrong, but did you try that or consider that?
Yes, in an effort to provide sort of temporary relief while we worked through this, we swapped her out for a gentleman, so a different gender and different race, you know, to try to swap out all the variables there, and it was the same situation. And now it's at a point where it's a known toxic environment, and I can't willingly send an employee, you know, force an employee to work under those conditions.
Okay, well, I mean, I understand that. And now, as I told people about a half hour ago, I said, I had only heard the comments by Rosa Johnson, who's, I understand her frustration. I had only heard the comments from Amy Miller, and I understand her perspective based on what she said. And it sounds like a terrible situation. And what the reason I wanted to have you on is particularly because I know you. I know the Council on Aging. I know you do great work. I know you're smart and empathetic and so forth. And I knew there had to be more to the story than what was being let on, because the story, as I understood it to this point, was 100% negative against you guys. It made you sound incompetent or malicious or mean or short-sighted or whatever, or all the above. And I knew that couldn't possibly be the case. That's why I wanted to have you on. And this is just for the fact's sake, this is the first time I'm actually hearing the explanation. I deliberately wanted to hear it not as a friend in private. I wanted to hear it for the first time on the radio where I'd ask you my follow-up questions. And so this is the first time I'm hearing it. And I hate the situation, and I completely understand where you're coming from. And I want to know, for, you know, we'll have the mayor on obviously tomorrow, and we'll ask him what's going on with this employee and, you know, what their perspective is as well, because that's only the fair thing. Anything else? I'm sure it kills you guys. Because ultimately, yeah, you know, you want to serve the seniors, and that's your mission, and Cobb, to not be able to do it.
Cobb was by far our most popular, most engaged site. We had over 60 clients there, which is the most of any site. It really kills me that we aren't in Cobb. That's why I hate that we've been painted as sort of, you know, intransigent and stubborn and unwilling, because I want to go back to Cobb. But it's my responsibility to ensure a safe and productive working environment for myself.
And just because it's maybe kind of a question people have, what is the nature of your obligation to provide meals? Is it specific to locations? Is it a total number of meals? Is it based on funding? Like, what is your MOU with the city?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it is a city-owned site. We are in both city and county-owned sites. Essentially, we come in and we provide meals, we staff the kitchen, provide the meals, facilitate bingo, holiday celebrations, et cetera, et cetera. It really just depends on funding and geography, and we have working MOUs with the city and county for many sites, the termination clause for which, as I alluded to, is 30 days notice.
Okay. And again, I'm assuming that, but you correct me if I'm wrong, that at all your other sites, in all the other ways you do this, that except for this one particular location with this one particular employee, things go great. And it's a joy, and it's the reason you have volunteers or employees, and they love going to their job because they're doing good work in the community, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the seniors remain socially engaged. They make new friends. They receive proper nutrition. It is one of our most public-facing and one of our most delightful programs, which is why I hate, again, that a staff conflict came in between that us and our mission in that case.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm hearing your explanation for the first time, and what I keep thinking about is, God, this great thing, you know, this soul-refreshing, community-serving thing that you guys or your employees get to do and that your donors know is providing, and your grant funding is providing, is being thwarted. You know, the good work is being thwarted by this one particular employee, and let's solve that. Let's get that problem somehow or other out of the way, right?
That's what's so frustrating. It seems like the easiest solution. I mean, I'm sure the city has a difficult decision to make. I'm sure they have their own staff considerations, but on the outside, to me, it just seems like the easiest solution to make.
I know this isn't the direction that you're wanting to go, but I do want to ask the question. The harassment, I think, is a general way to describe it, that's going on. Did it ever in your mind rise to the level of a criminal act, or was it always just a frustrating, painful, psychologically harmful kind of situation?
It was never physical.
Okay.
And it's not what I would describe as criminal, but I would describe it as just intimidating and exclusive. And
well, you mentioned you said that you changed genders and you put somebody in there who was a man and of a different race. I'm reading between the lines. I'm imagining it was a black woman and now it's a white man. But you didn't say that.
Actually, no. So that's what's surprising is it was a white woman and then it was a black man.
Okay, I gotcha. I mean, did it seem discriminatory to you? Because that's its own separate issue legally.
It did. Which is why I don't want to elaborate too much.
I gotcha.
On that piece.
Okay. Yeah. And I understand even answering that question carries a certain level of, you know, you want to be cautious. So that's fair. Okay. But I just wanted to understand. So, well, Josh, you know, I'm sorry this is all happening. Obviously, the thing I'm most sorry for is that the seniors have been not getting fed and feeling, you know, lost in their opportunity to get the services, which I know hurts you as well. But again, I knew how the story had been playing. I knew what people were perceiving, what I was perceiving, literally what I was perceiving from the story. Sure. And that's why I wanted to have you on to explain anything. I didn't ask you anything else you want to clarify, anything you else want to tell the community?
If Ms. Miller, if Amy Miller or David Stafford or any of the city administration is listening, please call me. You have my cell. Let's get this figured out.
And by the way, I want to, this is also, this may come as a surprise to people, but I reached out to you last night and your answer to me was, of course, I'd love to come on. Thank you for, you know, offering. And you had said to me specifically, I didn't want to ask because as your friend, I didn't want to put you in the position of having to, you know, either say no to me, it's not newsworthy, whatever.
Yes.
This is like Josh did not come to me in any way asking for the opportunity to express because he knows I have a radio show. I went to him because I thought this story is not being covered completely in fairness and I want to make sure and do that. So, which I think speaks to his character in a bunch of other ways as well, which I will vouch for any day you ask me about it. Josh, have a great time in Tallahassee. I'm so glad you were
thank
able
you.
To clarify this for me. Safe travels and we'll talk to you again soon. And again, thank you so much for filling in for me last week. Even though you did botch the sports reference.
I knew you specifically said that we could
move forward on. Let's go to traffic on the fives.
Wow.
John, hit
yeah,
it, John.
There you go.
Hit it. Hit the goalpost.
When you hit the goalpost, that's a bad thing, Josh. Just want to, for future reference.
I will never, as long as I live, I'll never make that mistake again. I'm so sorry.
I love you, brother. Thank you for the time this morning.
You too. Thank you.
All right. BJ's got traffic on the fives.
The front gate of NS Pensacola backed up to Interbay Avenue. We also have reports that there is a traffic light out at Highway 29 in Roberts. That is a four-way stop until it's fixed. 29 southbound, seeing some congestion as a result of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
If you've got a house to sell or to buy, because you might do both, right, in a move, but let's say you're changing station in the military or you're downsizing, you're upsizing, you're growing your family, your empty nesters, your retirement home, beach home, a rental, I don't care, whatever it is. If it's residential real estate, give Christina Leavenworth a call. Here's the thing. She and her team at Levin Reinke Realty sell a lot of homes. They sold over 200 homes a couple of years ago, and then it was 175, and then it was 165, which is still a lot. I mean, that's three a week. That's a lot. And then last year in 2025, it was back up again, 209 homes. That is 30% increase in a challenging market. Why? Because they know how to do it. They have a system. It works. They get results, even results when other realtors cannot get homes sold. They get them sold routinely. So how, why, what makes her different? Well, you can hear me talk about her. You can just call her yourself and talk to her and ask her. Say, Andrew raves about you. Why? 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Florida Bright Future Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights, 7 to 10, on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Viewer discretion advised.
Good morning, 6:58, News Radio 92.3. Cold in the 20s everywhere in the listening area. That's hard freezing. So, yeah, it's a super cold out, and it's going to be this way for a while. I mean, it's going to peak up above freezing, obviously, during the day, but dip right back down below it kind of every night this week. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The body of the final Israeli hostage has been recovered in Gaza. The Israel Defense Force said the family of Ryan Gavili has been informed that their loved one has been identified and is being returned for burial.
By the way, that's a huge
Senate Democrats
win. That
want
is
to
a
avoid
good
a partial government shutdown at the end of the week. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer making an announcement Monday. The Democrats' funding plan, though, excluding funding for the Department of Homeland Security. And, of course, if no deal is reached by Friday, it could result again in a partial government shutdown. And gold prices went above $5,100 an ounce for the first time. The milestone happened yesterday as investors are looking to gold as geopolitical uncertainties continue.
You can't have my gold
team. In the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A call for unity in Minnesota. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, from the First Lady. Melania Trump just told Fox and Friends.
I know my husband, the president, had a great call yesterday with the governor and the mayor, and they're working together to make it peaceful.
That's after the third immigration enforcement-related shooting. This one Saturday was the second deadly one, killing a protester, Alex Pretty, leading to even angrier anti-ICE demonstrations.
The Trump administration is making some major strategic changes here in Minnesota. Tom Homan is now going to be the main point of contact on the ground and will report directly to the president.
As Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino and other federal agents leave, and Fox's Matt Finn also reports from Minneapolis.
Last night, agitators continued their campaign of targeting hotels where they think immigration agents are staying and making as much noise as possible to prevent agents from getting rest.
Today, President Trump goes to Iowa, kicking off weekly campaign trips for Republicans ahead of the November congressional elections. It's not stormy anymore, but the snow and ice cleanup continues from New Mexico to Maine. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves says things are going to get worse before they get better.
Ice storms are different than virtually any other type of storm that we deal with.
He has activated the National Guard to help. Fox Weather's Brandy Campbell's in Oxford, Mississippi.
Many residents are still dealing with dangerous conditions. This morning, we are still feeling temperatures in the teens, allowing much of that inch of ice that we accumulated here to stick around. It's weighing down the power lines behind us, as well as the trees.
And that's making it tough for power crews across the South. There are still more than 500,000 homes and businesses without electricity, and in many cases, heat, like this man in Nashville.
When I looked at our thermostat last, it said 47.
There are still issues at airports. More than 1,400 flights canceled today, on top of 22,000 grounded the past 3 days by that massive storm. America's listening to Fox News.
Hear that? That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's, just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Honey, that flu keeping you up? Did you take NyQuil Intense Flu?
Nah, I got this. Okay, I don't got this.
Yeah, you need NyQuil Intense Flu.
Undo your flu with NyQuil Intense Flu. NyQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms so you can sleep.
You do got this.
NyQuil Intense Flu. The nighttime sniffling, aching, fever, best sleep with the flu, medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
Days after Ryan Wedding, one of the FBI's 10 most wanted, was captured in Mexico, he was in court in California, where the former Canadian Olympic snowboarder was arraigned on drug trafficking and murder and other charges. Here's Wedding's attorney, Anthony Colombo Jr.
The indictments are not evidence. They're just an accusation. And the way that our system works is that it's accusatory, not inquisitory. So he entered a not guilty plea to both of those indictments.
Also in California, they'll start to pick a jury today to put Meta and Google and TikTok on trial over social media's effect on teen mental health.
A 19-year-old identified as KGM and her mother accused TikTok, Meta, and Google's YouTube of knowingly creating addictive features that led to the teen's depression, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts. They're seeking unspecified monetary damages. Tech executives, including Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg, are expected to testify in the Los Angeles trial that's set to begin on February 3rd. Snap, which was also named in the suit, recently settled. Tech companies have repeatedly pushed back against these claims, saying they've rolled out safety features to protect users. A rep for Meta tells Fox News, "We strongly disagree with these allegations and are confident the evidence will show our longstanding commitment to supporting young people." Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Another country is considering a ban.
France's National Assembly votes 130-21 to approve a bill banning social media for kids under 15 and banning the use of mobile phones in high schools. It'll go up for debate next in the French Senate. President Emmanuel Macron has asked for the legislation to be fast-tracked to get it into effect.